Going to call to order the June 24th meeting of the Ponce Inlet Planning Board. And first, I'll ask everyone to rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance, and please stay standing for a moment.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just please remain standing for a moment. So I think everybody is aware that we lost a good member of our community and the chairman of this board last week on Tuesday, Mr. Mike Kazuba. And so before we start, I think it's appropriate that we just observe a moment of silence as we remember our friend and our neighbor, Mike. Thank you.
I will say I'm going to miss that rackety Jeep he drives around.
It's still out there.
Huh?
It's still there.
Yeah, he's not driving.
So before we start, I just wanted to say a couple of words about Mike, and then we'll get into the agenda. So everyone here obviously knew him, and many of us, I see familiar faces in the room, were able to get to his memorial service on Saturday. And so I think, like many of you, I learned quite a bit more about him at that point. And so one of the things that really caught my attention, though I'm familiar, obviously, with his thoughtful way of leading this panel, of his patience and how he led this panel, and we all appreciated that and certainly enjoyed his time as a leader here. And before that, he spent many years as a member of this board contributing that way as well. But he contributed in his life so many ways that we heard about. And in all those different facets of his life, whether it was at home with his wife and his family, or whether it was at work, or whether it was with his baseball buddies or his neighbors, or all the different people who got up and spoke on his behalf, you could see just a common thread throughout his life. He had such a strong character, and everyone that interfaced with him saw that. They saw the exact same person, and I was so impressed with that. And everyone who was there appreciated their time with him. They didn't know how short it might be, but they all appreciated that and really saw, you know, that he was a giving and caring person and that they benefited greatly from having him in their life. And I thought, wow, that's a tremendous testament that somebody, because we're all going to be in his position at one point. Nobody lives forever. And so for him to be able to have those words said about him, I thought, what a tremendous, you know, life and example, and certainly an inspiration for me. And there was another facet of his life that I got to observe as well, because we went to the same church together. And for a long time, I didn't even know he was there because he was so quiet and he sat in the back. And I'm not sure exactly why he sat in the back, but he always did. And it wasn't because he was late, because I would see him before sometimes and we would chat. And he just felt comfortable there. And he didn't have a kneeler, and he kind of was in a temporary chair that was for overflow, even though he could have chosen to sat somewhere else. But I think after hearing about his life that, you know, he really was just such a humble person that he wanted to worship, he wanted to give thanks for the many blessings that he had in his life, and he just wanted to do so quietly without any attention to himself, and he was just that kind of a humble person. So we're going to greatly miss him, and certainly this panel and town of Ponce Inlet appreciates everything that he did for the town while he was here. So thank you for that. And with that, we'll move on to our agenda. First thing is that we need to have the roll call.
Mr. Obeck?
Here.
Mr. Revac?
Here.
Mr. Cannon?
Here.
Mr. Carney?
Here.
Mr. Young?
Here.
Ms. Vanderbeek?
Here.
We do have a full quorum, 5 members and 1 alternate.
Okay, thank you. And with that, we'll move on to the agenda. With the aforementioned loss of our chair, the bylaws tell us that we need to select a new chairman at the next meeting, and so wanted to get a motion in that regard. Or Mr. Obeck approached me before the meeting and said he had a different idea for that, so we'd be willing to hear that idea and see what the board thinks about that as well.
Just a thought, and to give due respect to Mike, and I've had conversations with planning, with Patty and Darren. One thought is that given the town has not recognized a vacancy publicly on the board that we defer that election until next month's meeting, just out of respect for Mike. I realize what the bylaws state. It states the next meeting. But until I think it's official that we have a vacancy, we might be able to defer this.
I think that would be okay.
I don't see anything in the bylaws that prohibits it, so I think if you made a motion to continue the election to the next meeting, I think that would be appropriate.
All right, then I'd like to make a motion to defer the election of the board's chair until our next monthly meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. We will address that at the next agenda or at the next planning board meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I have a potential addition to the agenda. Under item 10, board discussion, I'd like to add a board discussion of the quasi-judicial criteria work group, if that's possible.
I think that's fine.
I didn't hear that. What was that? I'm sorry.
You'd like to have a discussion about the quasi-judicial worksheet criteria.
Okay.
And we'll be looking at that at the meeting at 5:30, so it's probably a good time to talk about it now. Yeah.
That's this meeting or the next meeting?
Next.
I'm sorry.
That'll be appropriate for the... I mean, we're going to use that at the next meeting.
Right. So you're putting it on the agenda
today.
For this afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Does anyone else have any updates or changes to the agenda? I think everybody's aware that item B, the minor special exemption item on the sightseeing boat, has been moved to the 5:30 meeting. So that is not on the agenda any longer for the 2 o'clock meeting that we're in right now. Okay, can I get a motion to approve the agenda with addition to item 10 and removal of item 7B?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Next, we have the meeting minutes from last meeting, which was April 22nd. Anyone have comments, changes, or recommendations?
John, just there's a small typo in item 7.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Are y'all's microphones on? Because it's really difficult to hear.
Okay. Relative to the minutes, I saw a small typo in item 7 on the address for the on Atlantic Avenue, South Atlantic. I think it should be 4915, not 4951. Item 7 in the minutes, the address for the property, I think should be 4915, which is what's the topic for this afternoon's meeting.
Anyone have anything else? Alrighty. Can we get a motion to approve the agenda with that one address correction on line 76?
Move that the agenda be approved as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, we approve the agenda as written with one amendment. The next item is report of staff. So I'll turn that over to Mr. Lear.
Good afternoon, board. Just a few quick updates. The Marine Science Center opened to the public today following a $4.2 million renovation project began last September. They enhanced the marine exhibits, expanded educational facilities, and upgraded visitor amenities. The Marine Science Center will be open from noon to 5 Sundays and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Also, your town council approved the award for bid for consulting service with Brzaga Incorporated for the creation of an adaption plan on June 19th. So the adaption plan is a follow-up to both the vulnerability assessment and the watershed management reports. The adaption plan provides adaption strategies to support the town in building resilience to climate-related hazards. The vulnerability assessment provided an inventory of public infrastructure and its associated risks to flood hazard scenarios. Water management plan was conducted to assess the exposure and sensitivity of current and future flood hazard scenarios on public infrastructure. The adaption plan will elaborate on the findings from both the vulnerability assessment and water management plan and identify the most vulnerable areas as focus areas. And lastly, we'd like to welcome our senior planner, Larry Wheatcraft, to the town. He brings experience from City of Edgewater and Sapcoen and Associates, in addition to serving as chairman for the New Smyrna Beach Planning and Zoning Board. He also has over 12 years of service in the U.S. military and state government. So we're excited to have Larry aboard. That's it, Chairman.
Thank you.
So next we are at correspondence and disclosure of ex parte communication. Does anyone have anything to disclose before we move on to hearing of cases? Nope. Hearing none, we'll move on to hearing of cases with item A, application for vacating of easement on 4915 South Atlantic.
Yes. Patty, our principal planner, Patty Rippey, will be doing the presentation.
Good afternoon, planning board members. We will be reviewing a vacation of easement request. The applicant is Jessica Gao of the Cobb Cole Law Firm, and she is here today. The property owner is White Waves LLC. The applicant is requesting approval to vacate a drainage access and utility easement located on the subject parcel at 4915 South Atlantic Avenue to construct a single family structure. The area to be vacated measures 15 by 876 feet. And this is the subject property outlined in red, highlighted in yellow. The subject parcel is located within the Ponds Park subdivision, which was created in May of 1947. The subject project property is comprised of the south half of Lot 6 and Lot 3. The existing property measures approximately 201 feet in width by 876 feet in width, and a total of 3.0 acres, and roughly an acre and a half is developable upland. Just some background on this property. The subject parcel was part of a minor replat in 2021 that split the property into three separate parcels. Recently, the two north parcels were combined to create one parcel, 4915 South Atlantic, for construction of a new single-family home. And just to show you, this was back in 2021 when the three parcels were split. And then more recently, you can see where parcels 2 and 3 have been combined. The property is zoned R1 and has a corresponding low-density single-family residential future land use designation. The adjacent lots north and west of the subject property are zoned R1 and have been developed with single-family homes. The vacant lot abutting the subject property to the south is zoned R1 and lots located south of the R1 zone parcels are zoned public institutional and include the Battelle facility, Lighthouse Point Park, Marine Science Center, and other public uses. The future land use of the abutting properties is low-density single-family residential. The easement location is situated in the center of the property, as seen here. There are other existing easements that will remain if the proposed easement is removed from the center of the property. There's 7.5 foot wide easements on the north and south sides of 4915 South Atlantic, as well as a 10-foot drainage access and utility easement on the west side of the property. So, to the review. So, pursuant to the Code of Ordinances, Section 70-112, the vacation request documentation was provided to the Public Works Director, Police Chief, Fire Chief / Public Safety Director, Town Engineer, and City of Port Orange Utility Department for review and comment based on their respective areas of expertise. The written responses received identified no issues or concerns regarding the vacation of the subject property. The applicant also provided letters of no objection by the applicable utility providers. The vacation will have no negative impacts on the existing and proposed utility infrastructure, right of convenient access, or engineering and related concerns. The proposed vacation will not affect ingress or egress to surrounding adjacent properties and will not be contrary to the public interest. Based on the findings of this report, staff recommends approval of the request to vacate the drainage, access, and utility easement located on the center of the subject parcel. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And also, the applicant is here as well.
Do you have questions?
Patty, I just had one question. Can you explain, I guess, what is it in the document? It says 1.4 acres is developable uplands. What is that? Just means buildable area?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Anyone else have questions for Patty? I guess the only question I had, Patty, is with the access being taken out in the middle, you said that the 7.5 feet is retained around the perimeter, and then I
correct.
Imagine the adjacent properties also have the 7.5 feet, so you still have a 15-foot basically easement on both sides. So
yes.
The adjacent properties will not be impacted by this?
Correct.
And what was the plan for this property in terms of utilities accessing the property, just through the north or the south, do you know?
You mean connecting to town utilities?
Right. Whenever this house is built, it's planned.
Yeah, it will connect to existing utility services that are located there.
But on the north easement or the south easement, do you know?
You know what? I do not know. I can find out, though.
Okay.
We have not received any building application yet.
That is. Would be curious if there was an existing mm-hmm. utility on the south side anyway, or if that property uses their north easement.
Yeah, I can find out. Okay. Let you know.
Okay. Anyone else have questions for Patty? Thank you, Patty. Any board discussion?
No.
Very good. Nothing. Okay.
Chairman, would you like to hear from the applicant?
Sure.
Good afternoon. For the record, Jessica Gow with Cobb Cole Law Firm, 1 Daytona Beach, Florida. I will be brief, as attorneys like to say. As Patty noted, we were here for a prior owner back in December of 2021, where we were taking this lot, which was originally just over 300 feet in width, and creating three lots of record. That original lot, you saw the original plat date, existed prior to the town's requirement for that 7.5-foot utility easement. And so when we went through and subdivided that one lot into the three lots, we made sure that each lot had that 7.5 on each side to create that 15-foot corridor. The good news is that someone has come in and purchased two of those and would like to combine them and build one home. And so we're getting closer to the original configuration. And no utilities have been put in since that time. And so there's nothing within that 7.5 feet that we are modifying on each side here, and we're preserving it on those remaining sides. I do believe there are existing utilities in A1A, not within the utility easements to the north or south. So as they come in with building permits, I think you'll see that connection from the front along A1A.
Thank you.
And I'm here for any questions. Yeah.
No questions. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, with that, if any members of the public have comments or would like to address the board, now's the time to do that. So we don't have any comments, so thank you. So now we need a motion, if anyone wants to make one relative to this case.
I'll make a motion to approve the vacating of an easement identified as VAC 5-2025 related to the property located at 4915 South Atlantic Avenue.
Second.
Can you roll call vote for this?
I'm sorry, I did. Was the second from Mr. Cannon? Mr. Obeck?
Yes.
Mr. Cannon?
Yes.
Mr. Rivak?
Yes.
Mr. Carney?
Yes.
And Mr. Young?
Yes.
And the motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us to item 8, business items. Do we have any business items to discuss?
We have none.
I think we do. Item 9, public participation. Any other public participation requested? Nope. So that brings us to our amended item 10. Mr. Cannon wanted to discuss the quasi-judicial worksheet criteria, so we'll
do thank that. You. First, I want to start out by asking our attorney, this worksheet, is this a requirement that, in other words, by code? I look back to try and find out when it was instituted, and I'm curious, are other towns that use this sheet, that your criteria, in other words, they fill out on a variance for each criteria, how they voted and why they voted, kind of a justification?
Not every municipality uses the worksheet specifically, but they still go through the criteria. So
right.
That's just more so to make sure you're checking off all the boxes.
Right.
I'd have to look in the code to see. I doubt it's a requirement to have a specific worksheet.
It is not a requirement. You don't know.
I'd have to look in the code to see. I doubt that it would say in the code you must use a worksheet for that. I think it's just more of a best practice until you get into the rhythm of making sure that you're hitting each one of those criteria, because it's so important that none are skipped or we miss any.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to look in the code, like I said, to see specifically, but my guess would be probably not.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I've looked at this over the course of a while, and I have become exceedingly less comfortable with it because of the way the criteria are worded and then the justifications that we're asked to put down, which are then collected and become part of the record. There are words such as special, rights commonly used, strict adherence. Those are very subjective, and I think everybody has a different idea of it, and I don't know what happens to these when you write down whatever you're thinking, and then it becomes part of the record, that it could be picked apart later. Well, they didn't have an understanding of it. I just am concerned about that and would just, at this point, just like to get everybody else's opinion about how they feel about filling it out, and then having it become part of the record that you may have to defend it at a future time. Does anybody have any feeling about this one way or the other? Or I may be lone ranger on this one, but I'd just like to find out if anybody else feels, has a concern about filling these out in a manner that may be questioned later. If somebody objects to whatever variance was granted.
Mr. Cannon, are you're referring to the worksheets themselves? Yeah. I've never seen people, planning boards, fill out worksheets either. And, you know, it was changed to just variances only. So, yeah, but in my experience, I've not seen those worksheets.
Well, my concern, I don't mind having a worksheet. I guess I mind turning it in and having it become part of the record, because it's you're voting and you've come up with a thought in your head or thoughts about each of the criteria. Some may be, they may be different. And somebody pulls out the sheet and says, well, Mark thought this and Cannon thought that, and how did this all come about? Again, my concern, if anybody shares that concern, I'd like to hear it. If not, we'll stick with the program then.
Obviously, these worksheets become a matter of public record, correct?
We could do some research and get back with you guys.
If I can,
next meeting.
Yeah, if I can take some time to look at the sheet, cross-reference the code.
I'm pretty sure the code doesn't specify the use of the worksheet, but it on the sheet it says all members must give findings a yes or no and justify your reason. So that gives it a kind of a level of authority that I'm wondering if that truly exists.
Okay. Yeah, if I can have a little bit of time,
sure, absolutely,
maybe even to this evening's meeting to just
I've been thinking about this for a while, and no, when you get a chance to look at it and thoroughly look at the whole topic, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
I imagine some of these terms are legal in nature, mm-hmm. and so I wonder if at some point town council created this document. I mean, if it are you suggesting maybe that if it goes to litigation, what that means?
I'm suggesting that we as members of the board are putting down whatever we think justifies our vote, mm-hmm. and then it's becoming part of the record. And I'm not sure if there's many other places in the judicial or quasi-judicial system where a judge or people sitting in that level of authority make a decision and then essentially write down what their thought process was so that it can be second-guessed down the road if there's an objection.
Yeah.
That's okay. My concern.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just a question, and I believe this came up a while back when some votes were cast that were against what the town's recommendation was, but no justification for that vote was given. And there was thought that, you know, if you're going to vote against what is being recommended by the town, you should have some reasoning behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that still holds. I think we should have that,
mm-hmm.
So that it's not just, you know, I don't like it kind of.
This is only these are not based on town recommendations. These are requests of people coming to get an exception to the code.
Correct. But the town will make a recommendation.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And my thought is that if you're going to vote against that recommendation, I think we should have a good rationale for why we voted against a recommendation
I think you can state that rationale
yes.
in the course of the meeting.
Agreed.
And that's on the audio record.
Yes.
I just wonder.
I'd be fine with that.
I mean, there's a lot of, not that space is a big deal, but there's a lot of subjective.
Agreed.
Words being used, and then if you try to justify it in three sentences, I don't know how it's going to work, and I don't know if, and it would seem to be that if we don't generally justify in a uniform manner, that just provides an opening somewhere down the line if the variance is, you know, a really critical one.
Right, right.
No.
Yeah, I'd be fine with just the audio.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll look to your guidance at the next, not at 5:30.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
you.
I'll take a look at it.
Thank you very much.
And I'd ask Mr. Lear at the 5:30 meeting if you could bring copies of the criteria, and then the board members can all review it before the next meeting, and then we can be more informed on this discussion, because I don't think we've looked at the criteria.
Those have been modified for variances only, Chairman.
Copies. That?
Those were modified to be only for variance requests, those the worksheets.
Right.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen a
I've got one. I'll bring copies.
So you want copies of what those are?
I'm sorry?
For the next 5:30? Okay.
Yeah, I'll bring copies.
Thank you. Any other board members have discussion points? I guess I just have one question for Mr. Lear. During the discussion that we had here and that the town council had about the approval of the farmer's market, there was conversation, and Mark and I agreed that the criteria that are in the town's code don't really match up with the vendors that he finds that the town people want to have, it seems like. And so he's getting ready to take a break from running his farmer's markets, and I just wonder, have you gotten an action to go update that language so that when he opens back up again, we are in sync that what he is...
We've got that nota. We've got several other amendments to go as well. So that's going to be one of those.
But we'll be seeing some updated language on that?
Yeah, for that and other items as well.
Thank you.
But it may be a few months, to be honest.
That's fine. Just don't want it to languish, and we've got a kind of a timeout now, so it gives us time to catch up. So thank you. All right. Any other board members have items for discussion? Okay, with that, then we will adjourn the meeting until 5:30.